Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
In your face, Chicago sports talk with great opinions, guests, and fun.
Nope. Afternoons on The Score.
I talk about horse blinders and earmuffs. Don't listen to anything outside.
All right, guys, we got to quit horsing around. We got to be serious. A couple people on the text line didn't like that bit. Yeah, never mind. Let's get it back on the line. Is Medina Spirit available?
Oh, God, I should have asked if he works out. I mean, what an opportunity I had. I don't think I got to a Holocaust-level question with him, though, did I?
Not even close.
I asked him why he had the long face or if he...
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Medina, would you rather be studded or shot in the head?
He hung up before we get to the really tough question.
If you had to be a kind of glue, what kind of glue would you be? So sad what they do.
Elmers.
You'd think.
I'd be with kids. Make kids
happy. Elmers, how about a glue stick? Like, you'd be a glue stick? Just be kind of bashed on everything like that?
I feel like you're not always used for gluing purposes. Like, you know, the glue stick is...
Somebody's going to eat you.
Yeah, exactly right. You're not even used for your role. I guess some people eat the Elmer's glue, like, it's like chocolate sauce.
Oh.
Yeah.
People do that?
The kid in The Simpsons does that.
Miss Hoover. Miss Hoover said if I keep sticking my finger up there...
Sauce.
So.
Ralph.
Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is going great.
It's been a while. It's an improv show, Tanny. Sometimes
Simpsons fans, and Chris Tannell, I'm pointing at you. John Swartzwelder gave a once-in-a-lifetime interview in the New Yorker magazine, and it is unbelievably great. He wrote like 50, including just about everything in season 3, which most people think is the best season of all time. And he's just, people call his particular style Swartzwelderian. Like, it's a thing.
Is it a recent interview?
It's like last week, 5 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And it completely came out of, you know, just a long email exchange with, it's really, really great. If you're a Simpsons person, I would recommend it highly.
I was when I was a kid. But just, I can't believe that they still make new episodes.
They still make new episodes.
It's crazy.
It's the longest running comedy in the history of television. Is it the longest running show in the history of television?
Saturday Night Live would be up there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Longest running episodic show?
Probably.
Something
it's
like
the
that?
Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Yeah,
gotta
it's
be.
Simpsons.
It's crazy. Simpsons. Crazy.
It's quite a run.
Yeah.
People are like, why are they still making episodes? Because of that. Because of money.
Yeah.
Cheap to make. Gets good ratings. Turns a profit.
Longest running primetime scripted show in the history of the country or the history of television.
Okay.
Right. All horses have a birthday on the 1st of January.
Dombrowski, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm
going
to now start counting.
Two, three.
Number of bowl games. Thank you. So Matt Nagy's talking to everybody.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything local, probably because the Bears have been getting beat up by most of the local outlets for a while. So my guess is, if I could take inside the, you know, how the sausage is made here, my guess is... They're, you guys weren't happy with us, before Justin Fields, and now that you're happy with us, we're going to keep you on the outside. That's why you're not seeing him on our station, another station. You're not seeing exclusive interviews in the papers or on local podcasts, whatever the case may be.
But that's fascinating. That's my
read on the situation, because every outlet in town since the draft has had interview requests in for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace,
yeah.
And they haven't shown up anywhere. They haven't been on Hogan John's, a Great Bears podcast.
Sure.
They haven't. Brad Biggs hasn't had an exclusive
Biggs
one-on-one.
And Dan Wiederer usually have something for their video thing.
Yeah, it hasn't happened since the draft locally, but he's been on with Ross Tucker, Colin Cowherd, Rich Eisen, and a radio station in Columbus.
I don't know if you're the first person to put that particular a point on it, but I'm glad you are, because we might as well. Everybody's thinking it in the business, and let's think about that. That is a vindictive thing for a franchise to do. That's a really weird thing, or vindictive on the people who says, you know, I don't want to talk to them for a while, if that's the case.
Yeah, and I would be very surprised if it was coming from the people involved. And I will be totally honest with you. I don't care. We had Justin Fields on the show. Justin Fields did the local media rounds, and whatever. Like, these are NFL teams. Do I think it's the right long-term approach? I don't. I think it's relatively short-sighted. And I would say that if anybody asked me. But we don't need them. They don't need us. It's the NFL.
Yeah, it's
tough one.
It really goes to the point of just how emboldened the Bears can be to do whatever they want.
Yeah, and again, I wish it was opposite. I knew Matt Nagy when he was in Kansas City. I wish we had Matt Nagy on this show regularly and were the spot for it. But it gets batted down. So
let me also say this. There are some times where people think that, like, opinions of us are based on access in one way or the other. I have given and will continue to give opinions on Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace with a clear and objective conscience, regardless of whether they allow him to talk to the media or not, including us.
Of course.
Just want to make that clear.
Yeah, listen, I remember being like, oh, you're a Matt Nagy apologist. I crushed him for his game management in the Packers game, which was week one, year one of his tenure here. I want the Bears to have a franchise quarterback, and I am now hopeful that maybe they have a franchise quarterback. And I'd like to talk to Matt Nagy about what he thinks is the key to developing a franchise quarterback, but other people are doing that.
I think that you also espouse this, which I heard the big dog, Mully, say this morning. And I had a great time, by the way, working with Mully on Friday in for David Hall. That was great fun. But Mully said that Matt Nagy has never had a chance here. It would be a pity for him to leave this town without having a chance to truly run his offense with somebody who could do it. And I agree with that, but you and I both spent a lot of time leading up to Nick Foles getting a chance saying that was going to be somebody running it who knew what he was doing, and it was a freaking disaster.
Yeah, I thought that Nick Foles would be the Philly version of Nick Foles here, and he was the Jacksonville version.
Yes.
But clearly Matt Nagy got that wrong. I got that wrong, no question.
But I think a lot of people got it wrong, and the idea that it was Foles who was the main mistake, the main problem there, was emboldened by the analysis of Boomer Esiason, among others, as we watched along the way. And I remember Boomer pointedly saying, he's seeing ghosts out there. That is not, and Boomer feeling that Nick Foles was that way. So I think it is still fair to say that Matt Nagy has never had a chance to have his offense helmed by someone who could really do it and brings the entire skill set you need for it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, just about Mitch and Nagy, like, Nagy took the job with Mitch attached to it, so he has to have some ownership of that. But let's all be honest here. On a human level,
we'd all take that job even if it wasn't the guy that we wanted.
Exactly right.
Of course.
I mean, I know, you know John Jastrzemski?
Yes.
This is a very inside media thing, but he just got the job with Bill Simmons doing the New York podcast for the Ringer Podcast Network.
He was with WFAN. I think he went to a school called Syracuse.
Yeah, he was a year behind me in college. We've known each other for a long, long time. And this is very inside media, but he was offered the midday job at WFAN when he had been doing nights and overnights to work with Maggie Gray. And he turned it down. And I told him, because we talk shop sometimes, I told him, like, that is the dumbest decision I've ever heard. I cannot believe that. He just did not believe that they could make a good show together. He likes to talk a lot more gambling than she does. He likes college sports a lot more than she does. He likes game sports talk. She likes more issue-based sports talk, whatever. He thought they would be oil and water. I'm like, dude, you make it work.
You make it work.
You meet somewhere in the middle. You take middays at the number one sports radio station in the country in your hometown. You get off overnight, and you take the gig. And he said no. He turned it down and kept doing overnights. And then, like, a year later, Bill Simmons calls him, and he gets this great gig and this national profile, and he bet on himself, and it paid off. So he is maybe the exception. This is a long-winded way of making the point that, like, that guy was offered the job, and it came with a condition that he was just not super thrilled about. And he, not that he was, like, anti-Maggie Gray, just, like, he thought that their personalities were different.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't agree with his philosophy, because if you are different, that's how you end up with something unique.
Exactly. I told him it was dumb. I told him it was the wrong decision. But hard to argue it was the wrong decision. Now his podcast is getting advertised in Times Square, and he's associated with Bill Simmons, and he's on the forefront of a digital age and making a bunch more money and whatever. But it was an interesting thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is someone who – so my point is Matt Nagy offered dream job, be a head coach, charter franchise, Chicago Bears. Comes with Mitch Trubisky attached to it. I think that 9 out of 10 human beings
would take that job.
Take that job and even say in the interview maybe some things that you don't entirely believe. And I don't know that Matt Nagy did that or not, but can I make Mitch Trubisky great? Of course I can. Even if in Kansas City he's in the room with Brett Veach and Andy Reid when they've got Pat Mahomes 1, Deshaun Watson 2, Mitch Trubisky 3
right.
on their board.
Because
but
sometimes,
he takes the job.
Sometimes the third guy, you can still make it work.
Right.
So, and then it became apparent a year or a year and a half, definitely 2 years into it, that he knew he couldn't make it work.
Exactly right. And so it's a long-winded way of saying this is the first time he had the input. He knew Ryan Day. He's like Justin Fields since 2019. This is arguably more on Matt Nagy than it is on Ryan Pace, the Justin Fields pick. And he's going around and he's making the rounds and he's talking to everybody.
Ross Tucker football podcast most recently, Colin Cowherd, and Rich Eisen as well. There's been interesting stuff on a few of them, so I know we're going to listen to a few. And
so
I'm
let's start with Cowherd, because I haven't been on since this happened, about the level of talent that Matt Nagy is ascribing to Justin Fields.
The word is you fell in love with him a while back.
Yeah, so this is really that story begins last year. A little over a year ago when we were discussing 2020 prospects, I was with Ryan Day. And at the end of it, as the story goes, I just asked him about that quarterback. And he said, hey, man, this kid's a generational talent. And that stuck with me. And you never know where things are going to go a year later, but that always stuck with me. And so as we get into the draft process and Ryan and I start looking at quarterbacks and the rest of our scouts and personnel, there's so many great quarterbacks in this class. And so we got to do due diligence and make sure we see who we like, why we like them, compare them. That's the best, Colin, is when you're watching a guy and you keep coming into Ryan's room or Ryan keeps coming into my room and like, did you see this play? Did you see that play? Man, he can do this. He can do that. And not just for Justin, but for all of these guys. And so in the end, this is what we feel really great about with Justin. And he's just such an exciting player that can do so many things. And we're looking forward to the future with him.
All positives there.
All positive there. It's a little window into the process. They're both looking at it. Collaborative. Remember, they're going to collaborate. That means Matt Nagy has plenty of power. And here he is taking the victory lap on the drafting of Justin Fields.
Yeah, and great QB draft. I'd love to know. I'd love someone to give me a piece of reporting on how did they have him ranked. I'd be surprised if they had him above Trevor Lawrence. But is it possible they had him as high as the second quarterback on the board? Yeah,
I think absolutely. I think a lot of people did at first, and then Justin dropped. We know that.
Yeah, but I'm saying on draft day,
Kuiper had him second. Some people still had Fields second.
Yeah,
Shields and Yarnell.
Yeah, James Shields, baseball player. We're talking about football.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd like to know. I'd like to know. Was it Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Lance, Jones? Was it was he third? Was he second? Was he fourth? I don't know, but he fell into a range where they were able to trade up and get him. And so Matt Nagy talking about acquiring a generational talent at the position. Here is with him on Ross Tucker I want to talk about this one because it's about Fields still, about the process that led, this is Matt Nagy again with Ross Tucker, on the process that led up to acquiring Fields on draft day.
So I've read some reports, Matt, that you guys have been calling up to get try to draft Justin Fields starting at 8 and 9. And obviously you really liked the kid. You really wanted him. What was that like in terms of you're making these calls? Like, how nervous were you when Carolina's picking at 8 or Denver at 9? Because obviously you really wanted him. What was that like?
Oh, it's awesome. And I just – I'm like a junkie with it. I just when I'm in there listening to Joey Lane and Ryan Pace make all those calls. And on the front end too, there's calls that are made earlier in the week. And then there's calls that are made earlier that day with the setup of, hey, listen, remember now, if something goes down, we're on it. If your guy's there, if there's a pick that we like, right. And they give you the, yeah, you're right. But then when you get in the heat of the moment, and there's all these other teams and surprises within the draft that happen, now you got to be able to adjust on the fly, and the bullets are coming, and you got to make sure that we try to set every scenario up as possible that prior week and play every situation so that when it comes, we're not making crazy decisions. And that's where I think for us, we felt really good by moving up to, with New York to get to that 11th pick, to get the guy that we wanted. And when it happens and when it's finally done and the Giants said, yes, we'll do it, it was just so cool in that room.
I mean, that's just a guy fanboying out about getting his guy.
Yeah.
Right?
He's so psyched to have gotten his guy.
And remember Ross Tucker, now that I'm thinking about it in terms of maybe why they showed up, Ross Tucker did a big thing that kind of went viral locally about why are people being so hard on Matt Nagy? He's never had a losing season. And then Matt Nagy shows up on his podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Funny how that works. Continuing on the Ross Tucker podcast, by the way.
And I'll give Ross credit. I think in the clip we're about to play, he asks precisely the question we've been trying to figure out in terms of where the Bears are.
Ross is very good at his job, so that doesn't surprise me. He wants to know if the Bears are in win now or rebuild mode. My bad. So we're on the Ross Tucker football podcast, continuing to listen in to Matt Nagy as he made the media rounds nationally. We'll have the clip ready here in just a second.
Yeah, Ross is good. Ross is good at his job.
Yeah.
And really, really thoughtful, loves to think scheme, loves to think fit, understands how it
former
has to work.
Former offensive lineman, yep. Went to the Ivy Leagues, went to Princeton, played for the Patriots and Bill Belichick. So here he is again asking Matt Nagy about win now or rebuild.
Are the Bears in win now mode or are they in development mode or both?
No, I would say both. We feel like right now with this roster that we've built over the last several years that we really believe that right now we're in a great position to go out and win a lot of games and win right now. With that said, we are building somewhat of a younger roster now where we as a coaching staff have to be able to develop these players that we're drafting. So there'll be a great plan for that, but we're so excited for the future and the 2021 season. Right now, as we speak, this morning, I'm putting together schedules of the offseason program and how that's going to work with all the new rules, getting into training camp and how that's going to be. But there's an excitement. There's a really good vibe right now in our building. And, we're right there where we need to be. And we have a great mix of veteran leaders and young guys. And so for me and our coaching staff, that's why we do this thing. And it's just very important that our guys understand that. And anything can happen. So we're ready to rock and roll.
So to me, Danny, the answer there, and again, to the correct question, indicates, I think clearly something we have kind of been growingly sure of, that they are not in win or else mode for 1 year, that they are emboldened by the brass to go ahead and see this through for Justin Fields, even if that means a full year and a half or whatever before he is the version of him that they want to present to owners as, see, here we are. Like, they've got at least 2 years here.
I think so too, as long as he doesn't look like a total bust. As long as there's not any sort of Ryan Leaf, Jamarcus Russell type of vibes around him. I think as long as it's not an unmitigated embarrassment of a disaster where he plays 13 of the 17 games and is the worst quarterback in the NFL. Like, if that happens, I do think there will be a ton of pressure that Matt Nagy is not the guy to maximize Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. So it could switch to that. It could switch to confirmation of Matt Nagy's incompetence.
Correct.
And you need to find somebody.
He'd have to be really bad, and he'd have to play a lot. And I don't think that either of those things are going to happen. I do think he'll play a lot, and I think that he will look like a rookie.
See, the thing is,
there'll be growing pains, there'll be successes, there'll be failures.
If there's any fear of that kind of thing in Nagy, and that plays any role whatsoever in delaying when Fields would get on the field, that would be really, really bad. That's the kind of horrific, selfish, personal reasoning that you don't want to get in there. Like, one of the things I really like about the idea that they have a couple years here is that hopefully they can really look at it objectively and say, okay, is he ready? All right, now he's ready. Let's put him in. And really, just base it on that. Just purely base it on that. I know they're going to weigh, well, Andy's good enough to do this, and Andy's good enough to do that, and we might be able to win this week and stuff like that. But I just, God, I want them to take a clean look at Fields and judge it by when he's truly ready.
A transformational figure in sports media that I'm guessing everybody in our audience has some connection to. We want to discuss him next on The Score.
Let's get right to it. The Chicago Bulls have won their second three-peat. This is the kind of stuff that ESPN will eventually make a documentary about. They'll call it something like The Last Dance and make it a 10-part series and release it in the year 2020. It's going to be lit. You don't even know what that means yet. While I'm making predictions, jeans will get extra tight. There'll be a thing called a butt fumble, and this clip will be used to promote the documentary in a State Farm commercial. It's just a hunch.
Arguably the funniest person to ever work on SportsCenter at ESPN, Kenny Mayne, announcing today on Twitter that he is a cap casualty. Andrew Marchand of the New York Post reporting that ESPN did make Kenny Mayne an offer to stay, but it was a pay cut, and Kenny Mayne declined. Kenny Mayne first joined ESPN in 1994, and he's now out at ESPN.
I think I agree with you that he's the funniest guy to ever do it. And it was, I still remember the night sitting on the edge of my parents' bed watching SportsCenter the first time I saw him hosting. And his meter and pattern and inflections and just so deadpan.
Dry.
So drier than dry, and just these weird choices. And his collar, I think, was way too loose that night, or that was his style or whatever. And I spent a good 10, 15 minutes thinking that a host didn't show up and a producer had to fill in, because there was nobody like him doing that. Brought this complete unique comedic sensibility to it. And then once I realized, no, that's him, I fell in love with him, man. Just amazing. My favorites were always the home run calls, just like your puny ballpark is not big enough to hold my gargantuan blasts. I think that would be number one, and then he would eventually go, bring me the finest meats and cheeses from throughout the land. Just whatever.
I don't know what that pitch was, but it tastes like chicken.
That's a famous, yeah, from Griffey, I think, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't,
Yahtzee.
Yahtzee, absolutely. But just like, just becoming the voice of how it must have felt to do the things of the people he was watching. He just had a really unique sensibility to it and just went for it every time.
Did you read the ESPN book by Jim Miller?
I never did. I really should.
It's awesome.
I know I should.
But you know me. I'm such a media dork.
Yeah.
And sport, like, it's great.
I read his SNL one, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Same
great
style.
Yeah, CAA ones. They're all great. The oral histories that he does. He did the Origins podcast on Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's the same guy.
And yes, and the Origins podcast on Almost Famous, which I loved.
Yep.
That's a great podcast.
But Kenny Mayne was, the sensibilities were different. He's kind of like, he could host the Oscars. You know what I mean? He's an MC. He's a host. He's an entertainer. And so there are a bunch of stories of, there's something called the upfronts that all these networks do.
Yes.
Where they basically, you know, Fox has them, ABC, Disney has them, where they get their top talent together and they get all the execs from the big companies who are going to be advertising.
Yeah.
And they try to sell you on why you should sponsor you know,
whatever.
Buy commercials on Monday Night Football, buy commercials on SportsCenter, buy commercials on PTI. And ESPN always would trot out different athletes and different people and pay celebrities to come in and do it. And then Kenny Mayne apparently did it 1 year and slayed like it was Chappelle. It just absolutely slayed.
I can see it.
And he's done it every year since.
Yeah.
That he is the MC of the upfronts every year for ESPN, and he's just commands a room, man.
I remember reading one time he said that he liked words a lot more than he liked sports. And so
a lot of turn on phrases, a lot of creative writing.
Yeah. And just like, and just the thing that, you know, probably influenced a ton of people, certainly including me, whatever, just in like, just get, again, getting inside the head. I remember like an umpire and a manager were arguing and he goes, it's an antonym. No, it's a synonym.
So stupid.
So stupid. But what else are they arguing about? And we don't know, and we're guessing, so he just throws it out there.
And it's a bygone era, right? No, Scott Van Pelt does an incredible job on the nighttime Sports Center. He combines the radio sensibilities with live TV, and after a big game, the data has shown that he does a good job of holding an audience more so than other sports centers because it's really a great post-game feel.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
very good
he's
on TV.
He's super comfortable. He comes off very genuine. He's thoughtful.
Loves sports.
Clearly loves sports, digs people, likes interesting people, has fun, but he's not funny like that. It's just a different skill set.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like, other than Scott Van Pelt, there's no one else at ESPN that they have talented anchors, but there isn't.
Truth is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Who's watching nightly SportsCenter like we used to with regularity?
That's what I'm saying. It's not the same. It's a bygone era. I do think Van Pelt does a good job of making feel. But, I mean, they had to pay him a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. He moved the show to DC. Like it's an entirely different orbit when he does it. When it's just the other anchors, whoever it is, you know, like Steve Levy does a fine job, but no one tunes in, and it all may as well be the same.
Yeah,
people in suits or blouses reading highlights. You know, Kenny Mayne was an original.
Texters are saying Craig Kilborn doesn't top that list. Very high. Very high up there. I thought Kilborn was really funny.
Humor subjective. Sure. I said he was arguably the funniest person to ever do sports.
Oh, Olbermann was very funny and irreverent and odd at the beginning. And he and Patrick obviously had the big show, and that was transformative. But Mayne felt like a stand-up doing it. Absolutely felt like a different way. So
yeah, so we'll see what he does next. He's 61, so could just retire, but we'll see. We'll see what he does after this. He called himself a free agent in his tweet, so maybe he's interested in something.
Just lay off afternoons in Chicago, buddy.
Yeah,
lay off.
That's right.
You back off.
We love him as a guest.
100%.
Can he sing?
I don't think he can sing.
Can he speak horse?
I don't think he could interview a horse the way that we do. He probably doesn't even know questions about the Holocaust that he could bring to interviews.
But if he can't sing, Tanny wants him. Is the problem. So is that a positive or a negative for our job security with Kenny Mayne now out there on the market? Not sure. Speaks knows what the surprise is. They know what the surprise is.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea who we're going to talk to coming up next on The Score.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I know you now own a home.
But my wife watches way too much HGTV, evidently. Welcome back. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
It's a big weekend in the life of our guy, Danny Parkins.
Yeah.
Who, in one fell swoop, has been transformed from city living into instant suburbanite. It is just that easy. And to discuss the transformation, we now bring in on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Go to apnissan.com or check out Alpamonte Nissan. In Melrose Park, we bring in the lovely Stephanie Parkins to discuss her new instant suburbanite. Steph, what did you notice first about Danny's new reality as you as you observed him over the weekend?
Yeah. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Steph.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, babe. Shay just told me you guys talked a little bit earlier, so I'm not sure what you talked about, but just the sheer speed at which Danny transformed into a suburban dad was pretty shocking. yesterday we took a Mother's Day walk around our new little lovely neighborhood. And Danny is like a really nice guy. He's, you know, like if you go up and talk to him, he'll definitely talk back or whatever. But, you know, he's not going out of his way to say hello to people, right? But that's we're true. Walking by and like some of our neighbors are outside and he's waving hello, how you doing? And I looked at him and I was like, hey man, like you're freaking me out here. Like I need to get to know you in this new suburban setting.
All of a sudden stuff when it's not like the attendant at the BP and a guy coming out of the liquor store at Fullerton and Clybourne, all of a sudden it's a different thing.
Right? You're gonna live permanently by these people. You know what I mean? We're gonna be here for they say it's your forever home. Yeah. So you wanna put out a good impression. I'm trying to be neighborly here.
I approve of that, but that's hilarious.
That is very suburban. Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the lawn earlier at all?
Yeah, a little bit. We heard that it's in a lot of trouble, but that the neighbors said you might have a little grace period to try to get it under control.
I guess so. So we pull up, we're moving in. Danny's just appalled at how the lawn looks. He never, ever notices stuff like that. So I was, again, shocked. And then, Speak, you know this, it's tough for Danny to apologize. He apologized to our neighbors for how our lawn looked. I was like, again, who are you?
Wow. What you have is a completely different list of ways that a man can measure himself.
I have some more, too.
Please.
Yesterday we had our family over, so Danny's younger sister, my sister-in-law, and her boyfriend were over, and, you know, we're talking about the house, we're showing them around, and Jack, my sister-in-law's boyfriend, leaning up against the wall, and Danny's just, like, getting real agitated, like, sitting there in the chair, and finally, like, he admits, like, because of the wall was freshly painted, and we spent all this money painting these walls. He was nervous that Jack was going to mess up the wall.
It's true. It's so true. I became my father in that moment. One of my best friends, the guy who you guys booked on the show for my birthday to tell like embarrassing stories from my childhood, still will talk about how we were in like fourth grade, and he was walking up the stairs to go to my bedroom, and we were going to hang out, play video games or whatever. And you know, he walked up with his hand on the wall. Kids do, and my dad's like, that wall can hold up by itself, Ben. You don't need to scuff up my walls like, to a 10-year-old. So I felt I felt okay doing it to my sister's boyfriend.
Yeah, no, it was really sweet, kind of watching the transformation. I just thought it was going to take a little longer, right? Like maybe at least 24 hours. And I mean, he was there. Like we moved Friday night. He was already there. So I got to get used to. This guy now,
but he's good. He's quick at adjusting like that. I've seen that in action. Is this version of Danny still sexy, Steph?
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're moving into this new like phase of our life. We just bought a house in the suburbs. We have a little boy.
Yeah.
So it's really fun. Like we want to meet our neighbors and hang out, and you know, have our friends over to our new house. So. Yeah, he's trying really hard. He's trying really hard to figure all this stuff out. And I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about this earlier. He's not the best at like, because Tanny and Shane came over this weekend to help put stuff together, and he's not the best at putting stuff together. So he's trying really, really hard. And at least he has friends that will come help us out.
Yeah,
so.
That's a win. That's a win right there.
Steph, you should listen to the podcast, 3 o'clock. They roasted.
Steph, is he trying that hard if he just opens up the table box, looks at the instructions, and walks away?
Yeah, and you guys, I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, but I had left at one point and came back, and I walked in, and Danny was sitting on the couch drinking a beer watching a Cubs game while you guys were up in O's room putting together the dresser. And I was like, Danny, are you serious right now? What? I was trying to fix the TV, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's the throne. Sitting there on the throne while the paupers do the work.
He was supervising, is what he said he was doing.
Yes,
so.
Supervising. Well, because like we were bantering, we were hanging out, we were talking, but then I was also felt like I was distracting them, and Shane was sweating a lot, and they were lifting, and so I didn't want to. Sometimes I felt like I literally was doing nothing. So I'm like, maybe if I just go into the other room and pretend like I'm doing something. That would be better.
Steph, we know he's not going to do anything with the lawn. He's already hired the people.
Actually, they showed up this morning. Except, like, early this morning, they showed up, and our lawn looks beautiful now. So he definitely fixed the problem.
Do you think Danny will ever shovel the driveway himself?
I don't know about shovel. We actually are, the previous owners gave us their snow blowers. We might use like try and figure that out.
Okay.
But I don't know that. I mean, maybe a little bit. He's got to drive down to the studio, or maybe he'll just do it from home. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I can't clean out the driveway.
Yeah, I'm going to just get an F-150 and then not be able to drive through the snow.
Just put a plow on the front of that thing.
We got more to figure out first before the snow comes.
Do you think Danny will ever run for mayor of your little town, or perhaps alderman, or even just sit on some kind of advisory board for the town eventually?
I don't know that he'll go that far. I do see him going to meetings and kind of raising a fuss that way. I don't know he'll ever
she
you know
knows
how
you.
Danny is. He'll say his 2 cents and then figure it out. I don't know.
That is the best answer that any guest has ever given to any question on any show I've ever hosted, because it is so true. There's no way I'm taking my time to join a committee try to change it from the inside. But will I go there and I give you a piece of my mind and then walk out?
We got to do something about this garbage schedule.
Yeah. I'll be like the lawyer in Animal House. Gentlemen, good day, sir. And then just walk out of the room. I will not sit here and let you badmouth the United States of America.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have you ordered in from a restaurant yet locally?
Huh. Yes, we have.
Okay.
So last night.
We actually, you want to tell this story, babe, on Mother's Day?
Had the sushi spot picked out, got the recommendations, because breakfast was not going to be. Owen wakes up early. We're moving in. Mornings are chaotic with the 16-month-old.
So your Mother's Day meal together of consequence was going to be dinner,
right? Because we had my mom over for lunch with my dad and my sister to show her the house and the whole thing. So we had family over for lunch. So the Mother's Day meal of consequence was going to be dinner. Had the sushi spot picked out, recommendations from two friends who were already up in the burbs, whole thing, know it, it's going to be great, everything's going to be fantastic, Steph and I love sushi date nights. Closes at 6:30 on Sundays. That's the suburbs for you, ladies and gentlemen. 6:30
Welcome
p.m.
To
closed.
It. Welcome to
Wasn't
it.
Wasn't aware, didn't check that. We ended up eating leftovers for Mother's Day dinner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I ruined Mother's Day.
That's not a win. No.
We'll get sushi sometime this week. It's okay.
So here's the trade-off. If you were still in the city, you would go out one night for sushi, you'd bring Owen and think he could handle it, and then he'd be a shrieking mess, and you'd be completely embarrassed and leave before you even got your food, So now the trade-off is in the burbs. You got to eat a little earlier.
Got to eat with the octogenarians that are our neighbors.
Yeah, the 5 p.m. dinner. Exciting.
Yeah, our life is over. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's all very, it's very.
Yeah, we're excited.
We're very excited. But yes, my plan is to try to fix it, and if I can't, in 2 minutes, throw money at the problem. Are you good with that, babe?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we've been doing. So,
as long as you keep making it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Comes in, goes out, we break even. It's fine.
Yeah, they were talking about the toolbox that Danny doesn't have. He just uses your old toolbox that you had.
Yeah, he keeps referring to them as my tools. On Saturday, he was like, I left my tools at the condo. And I was like, you mean my tools that Dad bought me, 15 years ago when I was in college.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Appropriated your toolbox. That's how handy our boy is here. But really, the tools of the trade are in the wallet, we decided. That's where the tools are.
He's trying. Thank you. But I found the people.
Yeah.
Found the painter, found the contractor,
that's
resourceful. The electrician.
You just got to take care of that stuff.
So I'm
logistically.
I'm the general contractor. I'm just a
salute.
I'm delegating. Delegation is a skill.
Well, congratulations, Steph. You deserve a lovely home. And Owen deserves lots of space to run and roam and swim and do everything. So enjoy it. And kick him out of the house so he comes to the studio a lot. We like him when he's in the studio.
I agree. He will be in the studio often. And Spiegel, you and Christine are welcome to come over whenever. We're excited to have you.
That's delightful. Thank you, Steph.
Thanks, Steph.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Can't wait to see that good lawn that I paid for. Yeah, I mean, she nailed it. It's true.
It's a good surprise. Good surprise, Shane.
I loved it. Yeah, she's great.
Didn't you guys pay for it together?
Yeah. We paid for it together. I found him. So, like, I did the act of paying.
I got you.
Yeah. No. My money is her money.
Her money
is my
marriage. Is when you say my money.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She
works very hard.
Yeah.
The seeds of resentment have been sown.
Yeah, no. That's not what I meant. I meant the act of paying him was done by me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Money's hard.
Money is hard.
It's difficult. Yeah.
But she works hard, earns her own money.
I know she does.
It's great. Yeah. It's great. But yeah.
What is your ideal eventual basement setup for like an NFL Sunday? What do you want?
So this is
a helmet for every team.
I want Maculand, basically.
Yeah. Five recliners. The Fugitive on one TV on all times.
It is a sick basement. So that really should be what you're gauging, what your basement's going to look like.
Max basement.
Max the gold standard by far.
It's great. So
I remember when it was Pappyland. It was Pappyland, and then Maculand sprouted and was a little better.
So dream scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Is big TV,
yeah,
to maybe 50 inches on the side, but then a projector
that comes down in front of all of them.
That is down and comes in front of all of them, but that's probably like $20,000 worth of electronics. So I don't think that is necessarily in the cards.
Mitch, you got a guy.
Yeah, but if the projector. Some of the Vegas sportsbook have the screens that can split, as opposed to being separate TVs.
Yes.
You could have the
a big projector
120
screen.
Inch TV that yes. has the ability to like what the old TVs had picture in picture. These had you could go like the quad box or the half and half.
Yes.
That I would really like
see,
too.
This would
the HD projector.
I would think you ever see Minority Report? I love that movie. And
and
one of the things they do when he's like looking at footage of something is he can grab the footage off one like glass screen and just kind of throw it on another one.
Yeah.
Somewhere like, all right, let me just look at this over here while I'm working over here. And I'll turn this into my computer. Eventually, I assume that's the future we all live in. And it should be, and I want it now. What are you doing, science? Let's go. Catch up already. But yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
But so that's my dream for the screen setup. But I've never seen it in a home. The projection screen that can go to the quad box for all the different sports.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'd really like it.
Mm.
I think I'd be good at that. I'd be good at watching it, not installing it. We're building it.
Look how good I am. Look how good I am at arranging all the televisions.
Oh, I'm the guy who brags about my remote control ability.
Yeah, of course.
When I fast forward to something, I hit play and it goes to the first scene.
Oh, my God. Just last night I said, honey, give me that. Give me that. We're in the middle of trying to cue something up.
I get anxiety when Steph works the remote.
Of course you do.
Yeah, it's. I don't like when she drives. I don't like when she works the remote.
Yeah, Christine doesn't like what I drive. She thinks, rightfully so, that I don't have the ability to drive and carry on a conversation at the same time. I'll be in the left lane slowing down, more focused on the conversation.
I'm making a point. But yeah, my DMs, again, are open. If you want my basement to become a reality, slide on in there.
Yeah.
I'm willing to negotiate. You want to talk about baseball?
I'd love to talk about baseball.
Interesting
weekend. Very interesting weekend. While you guys were doing various amounts of manual labor, except you, Denny. Baseball was being played. The Cubs took 2 out of 3. And the
How
White
is the baseball?
Yeah, we'll find out. Let's talk about it. The White Sox are in first place.
Yet?
Not yet.
All right,
but
we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.